right. Welcome to another morning episode of the Liberty Dad Podcast, a discussion on politics and culture. If you're tuning in live, I want to especially thank you for giving me your time so early. I stirred the pot a little bit on Twitter yesterday, as I'm prone to do. But as usual, it was through my typical stream of consciousness rather than deliberate. Let me tell you what happened. Two things before I do. Number one, I will make references to experiences on today's show, but without any names. The specificity of names is unimportant, as are the specific events. Specific names and events are unfortunately replaceable with many others, making any individual event but one in a sea of systemic corrosive megalomania. Number two, to lay a foundation for today's episode, I'm going to read an article from Big Think titled "God is Dead, What Nietzsche Really Meant." From there, I'll describe my comments from yesterday, the provocative title, and then where we go from here. So let me go ahead and pull that article up and we will read it. So the subheader is the death of God didn't strike Nietzsche as an entirely good thing. Without a God, the basic belief system of Western Europe was in jeopardy. All right, so it has been more than 130 years since the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche declared God is dead, giving philosophy students a collective headache that's lasted from the 19th century until today. It is perhaps one of the best known statements in all of philosophy, well known even to those who have never picked up a copy of The Gay Science, the book from which it originates. But do we know exactly what he meant, or perhaps more importantly, what it means for us? Nietzsche was an atheist for his adult life, and so he didn't mean that there was a God who had actually died, but rather that our idea of one had. After the Enlightenment, the idea of a universe that was governed by physical laws and not by divine providence had become mainstream. Philosophy had shown that governments no longer needed to be organized around the idea of divine right to be legitimate, but rather by the consent or rationality of the governed, that large and consistent moral theories could exist without reference to a God. This was a tremendous event. Europe no longer needed God as the source for all morality, value, or order in the universe. Philosophy and science were capable of doing that for us. This increasing secularization of thought in the West led the philosopher to realize that not only was God dead, but also that human beings had killed him with their scientific revolution, their desire to better understand the world. The death of God didn't strike Nietzsche as an entirely good thing. Without a God, the basic belief system of Western Europe was in jeopardy. As he put it in Twilight of the Idols, quote, "When one gives up the Christian faith, one pulls the right to Christian morality out from under one's feet. This morality is by no means self-evident. Christianity is a system, a whole view of things thought out together. By breaking one main concept out of it, the faith in God, one breaks the whole," end quote. Nietzsche thought that this could be a good thing for some people, saying, "At hearing the news that the old God is dead, we philosophers and free spirits feel illuminated by a new dawn. A bright morning had arrived. With the old system of meaning gone, a new one could be created. But it came with risks, ones that could bring out the worst in human nature." Nietzsche believed that the removal of this system put most people at the risk of despair or meaninglessness. What could the point of life be without God? Even if there was one, the Western world now knew that he hadn't placed us at the center of the universe, and it was learning of the lowly origin from which man had evolved. We finally saw the true world. The universe wasn't made solely for human existence anymore. Nietzsche feared that this understanding of the world would lead to pessimism, a will to nothingness that was antithetical to the life-affirming philosophy Nietzsche promoted. His fear of nihilism and our reaction to it was shown in The Will to Power, in which he wrote, quote, "What I relate is the history of the next two centuries. I describe what is coming, what can no longer come differently, the advent of nihilism. For some time now, our whole European culture has been moving as toward a catastrophe." Nietzsche would not have been surprised by the events that plagued Europe in the 20th century. Communism, Nazism, nationalism, and other ideologies that spread across the continent in the wake of World War I sought to provide a man with meaning and value as a worker, as an Aryan, or some other greater deed in a similar way as to how Christianity could provide meaning as a child of God and give life on earth value by its relation to heaven. although he may have rejected those ideologies, he no doubt would have acknowledged the need for the meaning they provided. Now I'm going to stop there. Don't need to read the whole article. It is in the show notes. So if you want to go ahead and continue reading the rest of it, feel free to pull that up, take a view. The goal here is, again, to draw a parallel and to bring about some thought about how we do things in our libertarian community. So a brief history leading to my comment on Twitter. A particular member of the LNC, the Libertarian National Committee, is making the rounds of deserved criticism again. The LNC member is in a previous meeting made a motion to exclude another LNC member. This resulted in chairs of multiple states to call for his removal. A veteran member of over 25 years took the unprompted opportunity to criticize the LNC member by saying they had never seen such terrible leadership in their time, and that included surviving a war, an earthquake, and even being run over by a drunk driver. Without hesitation, the LNC member curtly responded, quote, "I'm legitimately sorry you survived those things." This scenario has played out dozens, maybe hundreds of times, resulting in little difference in outcome each time. Leadership says or does something. A member offers a biting rebuke. Leadership responds in an unbecoming manner, and members demand other leadership take action. Wash, rinse, and repeat. God has no more actually died than libertarianism has. However, the idea of our libertarian utopia has died similarly, as did the idea of God. That is, polarization within the libertarian community is the equivalent of secularization of thought in the West. And that polarization is merely a microcosm of polarization we see in America today. I recently made a comment saying neither the right nor the left care about actual insult. It's just an authoritarian race to establish dominance by bludgeoning people with language. Libertarians are following that same path. But who is to blame? Maybe we just need better leadership. There is truth in blaming leadership. Their job is to lead. However, who puts those leaders there in the first place? Do they not reflect those who have chosen them to lead? I too once thought the blame fell squarely and solely on the shoulders of leadership. But then I observed my own libertarian community and compared it to what I was observing outside of the libertarian community. I realized the answer to those two questions was really not so different. Like our own government, it is the body of people who elect our leaders. And those elected leaders behave on behalf of us all. Admitting so when a particular leader isn't our individual liking is our Achilles heel. "I didn't vote for that person," we say. Think about it. Did you vote for the current president? No, you did not. But does that absolve you from anything that they do entirely? No, but you gave someone else a reason to vote for them. The general electorate presently votes less for who and what represents them and more in opposition to that which surely will ruin everything. It is at a point where it no longer matters whether Team Blue or Team Red is worse or who started it. Both are so bad, at least if you're looking at it, both are bad, at least if you're looking at it through the lens of Team Yellow's eyes. Team Yellow being libertarians, of course. And yet, internally, we're no different. Like Team Red and Team Blue, who relish when one of theirs dunks on the other team, we too relish dunking on the other team. So much so that we excuse those who we align with when they do it. That's different, right? They're not in leadership, but is it? I say our behavior leads to, encourages, and reinforces the behavior of our leaders. Wash, rinse, and repeat. Libertarianism not dead, neither is the Libertarian Party. But the idea of a self-governing people who need much less government than we have, none for my anarchist peers, is until we show the world what different looks like. I've argued that the Libertarian Party's purpose is to run candidates. I still believe that, though I temper it with that being the letter of its purpose, while the spirit of its purpose is to show the outside world just how our utopian society can look. So as long as our division continues, the outside world may only see in us what they already have, a disregard for actual insult, so long as Our team bludgeons the other, and of course, wins. Leadership reflects the body it represents. It's true outside the libertarian community. It's true within. But hope is not lost. I believe differences between Team Red and Team Blue are vastly greater than internal divisions within Team Yellow. I also believe that we share and recognize commonality Team Red and Team Blue do not yet realize they are capable of. We believe a world can be set free and harmonious through a reduction of government, not an increase. But first, we must be willing to demonstrate what that looks like. I want you to consider this. Every year across the United States, our members ask other members to run for office. We donate our voice for them, our time, and our money to that effort. What we ask of them is that they go forth and work to achieve a world set free, one vote at a time, one piece of legislation at a time. To do this requires that they work with people who may have different values and priorities, or even work with some who may dislike or even despise them. Never ask someone to do something you are unwilling to do yourself. If we cannot work with those who differ less than those who differ from the representatives we send out, then what hope are we offering the outside world? What glimpse of a world set free do we offer? None, I say. It is true our leadership ought be held to a higher standard than us. Recall the online retort. They're not sending their best. You see it all the time, right? Well, to send our best means that our leaders are the best of who we already are, rather than something we should be but are not. To phrase it differently, if our leadership is the best at presenting our message, it first requires us to at least be good at presenting our message. That's what best means, better than others who are at least doing some semblance of it. When I criticize the body for our leadership, I'm not suggesting blame on any given individual per se, though I can certainly understand why it feels that way. After all, we take on these incidents one at a time, and if something comes out, we talk about it in the context of that event with those specific people. It feels so because we are in the moment and thinking about that particular instance. We have identified at that moment who we align with and who we do not. But when we pan back and we look at the last event, one before that, so on and so forth, we can see a trend. And that trend does not fall neatly along the lines of division as much as we might like to believe. We're all guilty at some point. Leadership reflects the body it represents. Libertarianism is not dead any more than God is. Nietzsche acknowledged the death of the idea of God leaves a void that must be replaced with something, lest it bring out the worst in human nature. Nietzsche had his own vision for what might replace the idea of God, the basic belief system, as the article I previously read described. Those who strongly believe that libertarian ideas provide the best for humanity ought to recognize our libertarian ideas cannot be replaced, and therefore they cannot remain quote unquote dead through our unwillingness to display them within the most recognizable institution, imperfect an institution for such purpose it may be, that is the Libertarian Party. For an organization who truly believes in less state governance, it is imperative the body demonstrate first and foremost, and then our leadership be the best of who we already are. Libertarians are the North Star in our society. Some might say that anarchist peers are the North Star to us. To be the North Star is the highest honor and must be something those who are looking at it can always follow. Folks, that's what I have for today. I don't have a whole lot of commentary beyond that. But what I want you to do is I want you to think about every single incident that has come out. And I want you to start to recognize that we have our own internal divisions. And these internal divisions look strikingly like the divisions we see in the larger population of our United States. It's simply one team versus the other. And we're following the same path. But if we want to show something different, we need to be something different. When I criticize an individual, it's not so much that I'm trying to point the finger and say, ha ha, you're at fault. What I'm trying to do, and maybe I need to work on how I present it, maybe in the moment that everybody is discussing a topic is not the appropriate time. But what I'm trying to get at is that we first, the body, we behave in a way, and then our leadership reflects that. We've made the same arguments at everybody else. We say, well, you got the leader that you deserved. Well, if that's true for them, then it's true for us. Because at the end of the day, we are still humans in the same way that our peers who are not libertarians are humans. And we are going to behave in similar ways. And that means if we want something different, we have to be the ones that present that different. It's up to us. And what I see is a vicious cycle that continues. And it's the same thing every single time. Like I said, you have a leadership that does something, you know, a leader that does or says a thing. Members get angry. Somebody responds negatively to that person. That person responds in an unbecoming manner. Then everybody gets mad and says, why aren't all the other leaders doing something? What does that sound like to you? That sounds like, well, if we just had the right leaders in office, everything would be okay. But is that really what we're trying to communicate to the broader world? That it's really just about getting the right leader up there? Or is it something more? Is it that if we can talk about self-governance, if that's what we're talking about, then we need to display it, self-governance. And it starts with us, each individual. And we're all guilty at some point. I'm certainly never going to say that I never responded curtly to somebody and stirred up the pot. I certainly have. I've done it to leaders. I've done it to regular members. Not particularly proud of it. And in some cases, I may still try to justify it. But at the end of the day, I have to take responsibility for my own actions and how those actions played a role in the larger picture. And if I'm not willing to do that, then I'm contributing to the problem. And the same goes for every single one of us. We need to look at our own behavior first. We need to ask ourselves the tough question. Is the way that I just responded, is the thing that I just said or did, is that edifying? Is that leading us to a better place? Or am I just engaging in outrage to make myself feel better? And I would argue the latter is the case way more than we're probably willing to admit, sometimes myself included. This is my observation. This is what I mean when I say that libertarianism is dead. It's not dead in the same context that God is not dead. It's about what have we done? What actions have we taken? And what actions can we take? What will we replace it with? We cannot possibly believe that libertarian ideas are the absolute best ideas and think anything other than I have to do everything humanly possible to ensure that these ideas proliferate. And that means taking a critical eye at my own behavior, at how I'm engaging. Is the way that I'm engaging with my peers or leadership, is that how these ideas are going to proliferate? Think about it for a moment, and I'm going to wrap up. How many times have we seen somebody in our community get outraged, head to social media, blast it all over, and then the end result was that person that got blasted came back and said, you know what? Everybody that just tore me apart, you're totally right. I apologize. And I shouldn't be that way. Almost never happens. We're literally doing the same thing over and over and over. And we're getting the same results. There's a famous saying that your process is perfectly designed to give you the results that you are getting. It's true in our government. It's true in our community. The process that we have, which currently is to put people on blast, that process is giving us the results that we're getting, which is more of the same. In order to get something different, we need to do something different, which means we have to be willing to put all of our cards on the table. And we start with our own selves. Is what I did, is what I'm doing, is what I'm planning to do, are any of those going to edify and bring about the change that I'm seeking? And we have to be honest about it. If they haven't done such a good job of bringing about the change in the past, there's really no reason to believe that this time is going to be the time. It's kind of like voting, right? If we just vote that right candidate in, things will be so much better. If I just get that right leader in, that perfect leader, the party will be so much better. They'll lead us to victory. Will they? Or will they lead the people that have literally elected them and literally done the same things repeatedly to the same place that they've already been? Wash, rinse, repeat. So as you go about your day, I want you to remember, leadership reflects the body. If you want better leadership, the body must change. And you can only change yourself and hopefully influence others. Thank you for watching. I hope you found this episode informative and inspiring. I want you to be sure to catch me Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern. Apologies, I was a little delayed this morning. I was almost 7:30, got to work on this, right? 7 a.m. Eastern-ish for an informed discussion on politics and culture. Make sure you're subscribed to my YouTube channel, or if you prefer, my Rumble channel. You can go to youtube.libertydad.com, or you can go to rumble.libertydad.com. While you're there, let me know how I'm doing. Leave me a comment. In fact, speaking of comments, let me throw one up on the screen here. We are individual, and we all have our little g gods. Indeed, we do. If you're a champion of liberty, your business is people, and your product is liberty. I want you to have a great week and a great weekend. Catch you Monday, but for now, I'm out.